Welcome to the Dive Podcast, presented by Willamette Week. I'm your host, Hank Sanders. Each week, we tackle a different issue that's uniquely Portland. So tune in every Saturday to hear a new episode complete with interviews and editorial that helps explain our city. From Portland's leading paper comes a brand new way to engage with the news, sports, arts, and culture. Stick around. Welcome to the Dive Podcast. I'm your host, Hank Sanders, episode 22 of Dive. This is May 29th, 2021. Thanks so much for joining us. Guys, we have a bunch to get to today. We start off with the 90-second news flash, and then we go to our interview with the authors of this week's cover story, and we end the episode with my debrief of my opinion on the cover story and my opinion of the interview that I had with these journalists. But first, all the news, everything you gotta know. 90 seconds. This is the 90-second news flash. It's been a year since the death of George Floyd, so as you can expect, Portlanders took to the streets. If you've ever been by Flanders Street recently, you know that construction workers have been working on a pedestrian and pedal-only bridge. Construction is set to be done next week on that bridge. A former Multnomah County employee sued the county this week, alleging that it housed homeless families in motel rooms that were infested with bedbugs and then declined to renew his contract when he reported the matter to Child Protective Services. The Portland Business Alliance is in trouble for violating not one, not two, but 25 lobbying violations. Uh-oh. Four homeless people have sued the city to block the ongoing camp sweeps that we've been reading about in the news. The Blazers head to Moda for the first home playoff games of the season, and actually the first playoff games in Moda for a couple seasons, with last year ending up in the bubble. With the series tied at one apiece, it's going to be a pivotal next few days for this team. There's a vaccinated section. My brother's going to the game. I am very jealous. It's going to be sweet. This has been the 90-second News Flash. All right, folks, it's time to get to our main story, which is brought to us by freelance journalists Suzette Smith and Justin Yao. Suzette and Justin wrote this week's Willamette Week cover story about three groups that are protesting injustice abroad, one in Myanmar, one group protesting Colombia, and then one group protesting what's going on in Israel and Palestine. I have some issues with the article that I bring up with them, and I give you my thoughts about the work after the interview, but first, let's talk to Justin and Suzette. I want to give you a heads up that there were some slight edits that were made to this episode on June 5th. Thank you for listening. How did this story come about? When did you guys get this idea in your head to talk about these three different protest groups?
It was Justin. You've pretty much, this is your baby.
I got the idea to do a longer feature piece when the military coup in Myanmar happened on February 1st, and the Myanmar community kind of came out on that very weekend, and they assembled in Pioneer Square, and they had a flag wave with speeches and songs and you know, posters and such. And I had been following the kind of development of the situation, you know, just online. So I wanted to jump on that opportunity to see what the, you know, the first and second generation, you know, Burmese Portlanders had to say about it. And then unrest in Colombia happened, unrest in you know, Israel-Palestine happened, and we decided to put all three of these kind of pieces together to make an even longer feature piece that became the cover story. And we thought, you know, Portland, actually, like, yeah, this was Zed's idea, that Portland being not a very diverse city, you know, but all these communities still came out, you know, in solidarity for each other and for themselves.
Do you think that there is something unique about Portland that makes it so that people, like, you write about it as though there is something unique in Portland in the way that people are coming in and protesting these things every weekend? What is that?
I think historically, right? Not you know, well, historically as in, like, Portland does have, like, this almost notoriety, you know, whether it be left versus right, anti-fascist protests or, you know, conservative protests. I think Portland has been a microcosm, you know, like Rose City Antifa is one of the oldest established anti-fascist groups in America. And especially like right after Trump's election in 2016, Portland was, again, you know, the center of a lot of, you know, this conflict, political disagreement, I guess. And that's lasted till now. And I think a whole year of protests following the murder of George Floyd, it's definitely like made Portland, you know, known to be kind of the protest city. And I think that's what we were trying to refer to. It really isn't like one solid cause or another, but I think there is like almost an atmosphere of being very outspoken with your politics or strong beliefs and kind of coming out to demonstrate or gather, you know, for that.
Let's go on to a topic that both of you wrote about, and that's the third protest that was covered, and that is the Free Palestine movement. You write about the opinion of Israel among those protesters. What are people saying about Hamas at those protests? Is that a topic that's coming up as well?
Yeah, I mean, we might have to pass on that question, dude, because honestly, like, people didn't really talk about Hamas. Like,
really?
Yeah, the Palestinian conflict, or well, the Palestinian situation is really rooted in like the original expulsion of Palestinians from Israel. There's like a lot of old wounds there. And certainly they were angry about the like Israel bombing Gaza. But like, you know, I really didn't hear Hamas talked about.
Yeah, I think there was an effort to kind of like tie this movement in Portland to the history, the culture, and the heritage of Palestinian peoples, and try to keep kind of like more inflammatory political groups out of it. And so I think a lot of speeches and from a lot of the interviews, these people talked mainly about the right to go back to their homelands. One, that's something they fear, you know, erasure of their culture, their heritage, whether it be arts or history and such. But very, very, like Suzette said, very little mention of you know, these very specifics of let's say Hamas or other militant groups operating out of Gaza or the West Bank.
When I read the article, I was a little bit intrigued by the fact that it didn't come up among the people that you spoke to. And I do really find that very interesting, because it is not like, it's not just one-sided, although it does come across as one-sided in the discussions, you know, people claiming like a quote from the article about, you know, defunding things that support or invest in Israeli government issues. Why do you think there's not more of a messaging of like, we need to not have Hamas be representing our issues in the Gaza Strip?
I don't know. That feels like a deflection from the fact that, like, you know, like Israel killed over 200 people with bombing, and like, you know, the amount of people who died in Israel was like 12 people. Like, it's, yeah, not, I mean, it's not a numbers game, but it is like, it's not a conflict necessarily. It's like one group is extremely like powerful and one group is not.
Right. But you can bring up the fact that this is two-sided. Hamas is a terror organization. So my question is, why is it that you can go to these rallies? Because I've seen them, and I've been to them, and people have handed out pamphlets supporting their cause, and it's always get Israel out. Like, I'm still confused as to why there's not a discussion about Hamas.
So yeah, at the top of this interview, you said that we could pass on questions. And I feel like this question isn't working with the story that we wrote. And I don't know how you feel about this, Justin. I think that we should talk about, like, I don't know, because, yeah.
Here's the way that I see it. I see it as when I'm talking to like my friends in college or high school, you know, they can be like, well, let's, you know, let's gloss over it because it's a complicated issue and we can talk about it till the cows come home. But if we're talking about an article that's being written about the topic, why don't you think it's fair for me to ask why Hamas? I mean, Hamas was mentioned once in the article when more context could have been provided. Am I crazy on that?
So yeah, I feel like, you know, any constructive criticism on our work is very useful. And but you know, the focus on our piece is definitely about kind of second generation immigrants and how activism intersects with their daily lives, you know, as immigrants in immigrant communities in a very largely white Portland. So you know, the focus on the piece, you know, Suzanne and I are, you know, in no way experts or even very, very much well-versed in the very complicated history of the Middle East and specifically, you know, current Israel-Palestine. And we recognize this. And that's why our focus isn't so much on the cause, specific cause, and the you know, the intricate history of this cause, but more so on the characters, these Portlanders who are very much tied to, you know, dedicated their lives and a lot of their time to you know, advocate for what they believe in. And that's what the focus of the piece is about.
I do feel like, yeah, like maybe when I was talking about Colombia and you were talking about Myanmar, Justin, we started to maybe cross the line of where we're advocating for these causes and we're not. We wrote about people who are advocating for these causes. We just, you know, we profiled people. We wrote about subjects.
What was the most surprising character that you guys came across in these, a fun character or, you know, interesting character to talk about?
I did interview. Her name is Yin. Yin is you know, the daughter of a Burmese diplomat, a Burmese UN diplomat. So growing up, she grew up as a third culture child, traveling around with her parents. You know, she came to America to study at the age of, I think, 21. And she's since been living in Portland for now 33 years. She has, you know, a beautiful family with three children. And, you know, she was a case manager a while back, helping actually Burmese refugees fleeing the nation settle here. So then that was a really cool interview to meet someone like that. Trying to patch up the holes before this dam gives way. What can I say? I can't stop digging, can't stop digging. What can I say? I can't stop digging. To end our episode, I want to talk to you. I want to give you my opinions on this week's cover story. I want to give you my opinions on the interview you just listened to. And if you've ever listened to one of these episodes before, you know I don't usually do this. In fact, I never do this. In 21 weeks, 21 episodes, I've never done this. And there's good reason for that, because when I do my job well as an interviewer, I don't have to do this. I don't have to double back and clarify my position and my opinions and my views. And I didn't handle this interview very well. I didn't come with questions that were articulate and got to the heart of the issue and my opinions and really delved into this topic. I didn't do it well. So I'm going to try to do my best now to make up for that. And let me say a few things. First off, please do yourself a favor and pick up a copy of this article, print or online. Read the cover story from Willamette Week this week and give us your opinions. Let me know if I'm completely off base. Tell us, slide in our DMs on social media. Go to the bottom of the article and comment. Let us know what you think. Second, I know that this discussion is incredibly difficult, and rarely do two people with different points of view on this topic have a discussion on it and end the discussion with, wow, you really changed my opinion. I have completely altered my opinion forever.
No, this is a very difficult discussion that is rooted in difficult topics that deserve a lot of time and people from different opinions. And that's exactly what I'm trying to get at. That's the point that I'm trying to make, is that this discussion needs context and this article lacks context of what is going on in this issue. And here's the thing. This article could have stayed away from the Israel-Palestine political discussion by going about it a different way. They could have included a profile of Ramsey, somebody that they bring up in the article. They could have talked about his life and his story and avoided the political discussion, but they brought it up in the way that the story was written. So you have to owe it some consideration, some context. So let's go through the article and let me give you my opinions. My first point has to do with this quote. This is a quote from a Willamette University student that's included in the article. And the quote goes, quote, "Boycott Israel, your workspace, your campus, get that shit out of there." Now, the problem that I have with this quote is I believe that if you substituted Israel for any other country, it would be seen as racist. If you said, "Boycott China, your workspace, your campus, get that shit out of there," you would see it as a broad generalization that takes some very specific problems and makes them the problems of an entire country, an entire people. And I think it would be seen as racist. Now, what you could say, what you could totally say is, hey, I think we need to reevaluate our relationship with China, the trades that we do with China, because of the stuff that's going on with Uyghurs, because of the stuff that's going on with the way that they handled COVID in Wuhan, because of interference in our elections and tampering with other countries' elections and tamping down on journalists speaking their minds and free speech. And in the same vein, you can say similar things about Israel. You can say, hey, I think we need to investigate the war crimes, whether they're committing war crimes. We need to investigate whether it's constitutional that they are kicking people out of their homes based on their race and ethnicity. We can look at things that Benjamin Netanyahu is doing and talk about whether that should be allowed to happen. We can talk about specific issues like that, but to just say boycott Israel, get that Israel shit out of there, I don't think that that would fly. I don't think that would fly if it was another country. I think it would be seen as talking and generalizing about a group of people in a country, a minority. So if you were to say, boycott Mexico, get that Mexican shit out of there, I don't think that would fly. So let's read a little bit more and let's see the context that they say. The context of getting, of boycotting Israel and getting that shit out of there is that they are calling for divestments in things that are tied to Israel. And that's totally fair. If you say, if you had the student out there, the Willamette University student, and the Willamette University student said, hey, divest from Israel, divest from these things, that's a conversation that can be had. That's a quote that can be said out there. But to not label the quote that was quoted of get that Israel shit out of there, to not talk about that in a racist fashion, I feel like is inaccurate. I think it's not calling it what it is. Now let's move on to my second gripe with the article, and that has to do with the discussion around Hamas, or the lack of discussion that's around Hamas. Hamas is brought up once in the entire article, and it's brought up in this quote. Quote, "In Gaza, where a fragile ceasefire between Israel and Hamas occurred only after Israeli military forces killed 248 people in 2 weeks," unquote. Let's read that again. "Where a fragile ceasefire between Israel and Hamas occurred only after Israeli military forces killed 248 people in 2 weeks." So that is definitively making it seem like it is a one side beating up on another side conflict, that it's a one-way conflict. And that's not accurate. It does not mention that Hamas is a terrorist organization. It does not mention that Hamas has been linked to suicide bombings and other acts of terror. It does not mention that the Hamas charter calls for the death of Jews, or that Hamas denies that the Holocaust happened. And most importantly, Hamas is the governing authority of the Gaza Strip. They've won elections. Palestinians have voted them into power and selected them to represent them, represent their opinions and their views. So when you go to these rallies of Free Palestine, why doesn't Hamas come up? And why aren't you asking, as a journalist, hey, what are your thoughts on Hamas? What do you do about Hamas? Because when you say free Palestine, great, but you should also be saying, we got to get Hamas out of there. Because surely you don't agree with the things that Hamas represents. Also, just the fact that they write that that the ceasefire only occurred after Israeli military forces killed 240 people in 2 weeks, 48 people in 2 weeks. I mean, that's very, you know, that's simplifying it, because Hamas is shooting thousands of has shot thousands of rockets at Israel, and the only reason why there were less deaths is because of things like the Iron Dome and other protective measures like underground bunkers. So it's not like Hamas is not trying to murder hundreds of Israelis. They just can't. They're just struggling to be able to do that. Now, like I said, totally. If you want to write about the war crimes that Israel has committed and talk about the amount of people that they've killed and talk about how it's too many and how one civilian death is too many, that's totally fair. And that is a great discussion and a great piece of journalism and something that has to be talked about a lot more. If you want to talk about the issues where Netanyahu is trying to remove people from their homes based on their race and ethnicity, that goes at the heart of everything that Americans stand against, then let's talk about that. Let's have that discussion. Bring it up in the article. Let's talk about it. That's fair, fair play. And a lot to, and I would agree with a lot of that. But you have to provide context, or else it seems just super one-sided, and it's not one-sided. It's complex. And that's why people are passionate about this topic, is because there are ways to debate this topic and there are opinions to be had. And context is really important on this topic. Well, folks, thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope I didn't bore you too much. If you agree with me, that's great. But if not, that's great too. I really, I value your opinion. Let us know what you think about this topic. And either way, we'll see you next episode, in episode 23, next week, next Saturday. So please join us again. We've got a lot of great, fun discussions coming up. So thank you so much for listening. For Willamette Week, I'm Hank Sanders. We'll catch you next week. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Dive Podcast, presented by Willamette Week. For more information on this podcast or the biggest stories in Portland, go to wweek.com and follow Willamette Week on all socials. We're doing some really cool things related to the podcast on our Instagram and Twitter. It includes giveaways, behind the scenes, etc. A lot of cool things coming your way, so give those a follow. Special thanks to our guests for joining us, and thank you to Aaron Mesh, Mark Zussman, and Brian Panganibon, as well as the entire Willamette Week family. Last but not least, thank you so much to Heather Witte and AmpMusic.co for the music that you hear on this podcast. For Willamette Week, I'm Hank Sanders. This has been the Dive Podcast.